Genesis chapter 28, beginning from verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, angels, the angels of God, ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The young man had manipulated himself into receiving a spiritual thing. The first implication of this spiritual thing that this young man had acquired, even though by manipulation, but he acquired it. He acquired it because it was him from the Lord, but the method and the means by which he got it. But that's not even the problem now. He acquired it. And as he was navigating with this spiritual thing that he had acquired, he thought that he was responsible for the journey that he was making. But the spirit that was the guardian of the covenant that he had acquired navigated him to a location, a spot where his grandfather had raised an altar to God and opened a website of the spirit. There was notable activity that was trapped in that location on the account of what his grandfather did. Now, this guy had not yet accepted the God of his grandfather. He was still a rolling stone. He was still a reggae rag. But he could not escape the implication of the things that his grandfather had done. And so when he came to this location, God waited for him to shut down in sleep. Unfortunately for him, in deciding how to sleep, he even felt the need to have a pillow that night. And it was one of the stones that his grandfather used to set up the altar many years ago. That was a preferred option of a stone to use. When his physical eyes were shut, his spiritual eyes were open in a dream, and he saw the same location. That doesn't happen very often. But I need to ask you a question. Have you seen your family from the eye, from the lens of the spirit? Do you know your family by revelations? Do you know the location, your neighborhood, by insight, by revelation? You only know that the number is 1742, and that's all you know. But you see, for this man, he had gone beyond the natural perspective. His eyes were open to see the location from the realm of the spirit, and I don't have time to discuss what he saw. But after the encounter he had, this was his commentary. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So the first problem of this man, the first problem, is an inability to recognize the presence of God. Now, as pastor was teaching, a lot of things began to connect, began to make sense. You must be able to first recognize the presence of God. What can make a man that has been craving pounded yam for 1 week? You are not with me. And suddenly, the pounded yam is available with the preferred option of soup to go with it. The desire in his flesh was heightened by the aroma, was triggered. He was disarmed at that moment. What is that thing that is strong enough to stop him from engagement? In fact, there was motion already, navigation, motion. And that can only happen if a man knows what it means to recognize the presence of God. Many of us come to church, but you cannot recognize his presence. You are like Jacob. It means that most of the things that God will be doing, you are not going to be ushered into it. Even if you are ushered into it, you cannot maximize it. You cannot trap it, because you do not recognize it. I believe that the first thing we need to ask God, and may you take what we are doing today seriously. Amen. The first thing we need to ask God is to help us to recognize your presence. Help us to recognize your presence. Help us to be able to recognize your presence. Let us not come to the same conclusion that Jacob came to. The Lord obviously was here, and I did not know it. I did not recognize it. I thought it was one of those meetings, one of those occasions, but I wasn't able to maximize the moment adequately because of my inability to recognize the presence of God. Can we cry to him in a moment of time? Please forget about your neighbor. If your neighbor is not interested, leave him. He may not know why he's here. But you can make up your mind. That is a grace that I seek tonight, to be able to recognize your presence. Saima mote kababota his. Obreskento menakila Gemini tokom bababa de kaski Mesobres koba mokadi Esuminate ketabunda Alaike bamo saminato kebabata, that I might be able to recognize your presence.
Mama Iamenailo keso sani kabala handala. Iamenasobo. Sebinakota babalata Sediscopre capana coda baski Prescopa manatia la baconde Yabose cante Yabose kilabonda Yatamalantoske that I might be able to recognize your presence in my life, upon my life, to recognize your presence in the life of others, to know what point, at what point God takes over the vocal cords of men and uses them to speak his counsel, that I may not say like Jacob, the Lord was here and I did not know it. Kabobe masike, brakoskato makabalaita, abreso menakute, akakombele skababota, ala masika, ala mamokela iskopres kamanteli, abonde kamakunda, akombra asketa ye, akombra babadoka, ala subenaite, ala manta kombre eskababonda, ami sababoketali. To recognize in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Then his quiet secret was added, for God was with him. Now, Jesus had all of the dimensions of the anointing. So he had the first dimension, which is the first installment, is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The second installment is the anointing of power. And Jesus had both. And because of that, he was capable of philanthropy. The word good there, if you read it from the Greek, is it translates to philanthropy. Because he had so much resources at his disposal, the reasonable thing for him to have done, therefore, was to become a philanthropist. But you see, there's an addition there, for God was with him. It seems to suggest that God is not willing to give you anything that you don't need him to operate. God made the anointing available. He made the power available. But he's there as a regulator to determine how you dispense this anointing, how you dispense this power. A lot of people have taken off like a tornado, thinking that the anointing in itself is sustainable. But you see, what keeps an anointed man? In fact, because you are anointed, you are attractive. Demons are attracted to you because they know that you have capacity to cause commotion to their kingdom. So your case is a sensitive case and they are attracted to you. It means that the anointing will attract warfare, to attract demons. It will attract interferences. It can even bring affliction. So God now decides that his glory will become your covering, so that when demonic powers seek to take advantage of your blind spot, the glory will be your covering. And if you don't have the full kit that captures the glory dimension, that travels with you, you are not safe. It's better for you not to have been anointed in the first place. And we see many anointed people suffer shipwreck. It is because there was a temptation to think that the anointing that gives you capacity to perform is sufficient in itself. God was with him. I know we like power. And indeed, if God never knew that we needed power to prosecute life. In fact, in the eyes of Jesus, in order for you to prosecute normal life, you need to have power. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So, he made a location for power, for supernatural things in the economy of a believer. However, the secret that Jesus had was that he paid the price to be in obedience to his Father, enough for his Father to be willing to accompany him around. There's an added requirement. You can pray and fast, and you can cultivate an anointing. You can cultivate an anointing from praying and fasting, and you can operate in that anointing. But you will need to be able to deal properly with the authority of the one that anointed you in order for him to be willing to accompany you with his presence. So the issues of obedience, the issues of submission to divine authority, the issue of yieldedness, the issue of submission even to his discipline, because there are many people that want God's good and they don't want God's discipline. That's the description of a bastard. Someone that doesn't have discipline. So he doesn't carry the character of his Father. And he is comfortable with it because the flesh likes power. Flesh likes advertisement. Power is explosive. It's an explosive device. But if you are going to walk in the presence of God, you cannot but recognize the authority of God and yield to it. Even when the authority of God is prescribing a discipline, your flesh doesn't like it. But you know you have no option because you are sold out under his authority. It's a different matter when we begin to bring God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. We had a prayer group those days on campus. There were many people. I was the teacher of the group. But there were many people that were way more anointed than I am, even at that time. Many of them that are no longer on the radar because it was about anointing. Anointing and the gifts of the Spirit, they are coveted. But a walk with God is cultivated. It's a day-to-day thing. Can we pray today? I got, oh my God. Can we pray today? Power is explosive. Power is the instrument by which God conquers. You know, the Bible says, because of the greatness of thy power, thy enemies, they submit themselves. That's how he conquers. But God rules by authority. He doesn't rule by power. Many of us are instruments. Okay, let me stop there. Let me stop there. Are you there? Authority is the instrument by which he rules. The day you gave your life to Christ, power came and was knocking on the door of your heart, making you uncomfortable. And the moment you yielded and accepted him to come in, a new regime of God's operation switched on that moment. Because from that time, he begins to govern you. You may not feel that agitation, that initial agitation with which and by which you came to the Lord. Because there's a different system that is going to be responsible for your development. And the greatest challenge that will happen to you is that you are unable to recognize God when he comes, when he begins to weave his will. He comes to capture your attention. You cannot recognize him as he's working out his mystery over your life. It's a thing of reproach not to be able to recognize him. Can we ask Are you there? Can we ask? Because end time believers, yes, you are going to be anointed. But over and above that, we go beyond the veil. We move beyond the holy place into the Holy of Holies. The one that is in that place is notable for his ability to slay anyone that comes into his presence without adequate preparation. So you cannot come into the Holy of Holies absent-minded because you are not sure you will leave that place alive. Are you there? It means that first of all, if we are able to recognize him, then we must respect the presence that we recognize. That's what I got from his testimony. He had come to the place of recognizing that presence. And he had moved to the place of respecting that presence. If you don't move from recognizing to respecting, you will never come to the place where he leads you. The third level is leading. I heard a story. There's this guy, he comes for prayer. And he prays for long hours. And while he was in the... There are many strange instructions that God gives him. Alright? So he was wondering why God would be giving him this kind of instruction. Like he'll be praying and God will say, take this stone, take that stone, that piece of stone, and begin to declare on the stone as though you are declaring on the land. Strange instructions, huh? He came for prayer one day. And God now told him, kneel down and pray to me. So he went on his knees. As he was moving from standing posture to kneeling posture, somebody shot a gun. Wah! If that guy was standing, he would have died. Now, meanwhile, are you there? Meanwhile, the way God trained him for that golden day where he will need to survive by the voice of God was by asking him to do foolish things. Take the stone. And I know you are so majestic. You are so majestic that you cannot align with the foolishness that is in God. That's why you are where you are. Can we ask that God we choose to be foolish so that we can enthrone your authority over our lives? We choose to respect your presence. Somebody needs to talk to him right now. For many of us, you cannot yet recognize him, his movements in your spirit, his displeasure, his shout, you can't recognize. For some others, you can recognize him, but you do not respect him. You can't walk in glory if you do not respect his presence. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, tonight we come before your presence and we ask, Lord, that you give us grace. Give us grace. We proclaim tonight, we respect your presence in this assembly and in our lives as individuals. Lord, we give you your place. Oh my God. Irabobo Santo, Makebo Siantela, Babrahasa Kapalanto, Yekomina Kilabo Sabakesto, Ekominaita, Eko Saminako, Eko Sendaya, Eko Menakile, Abisco Pantela Hunda, Alakos Keto Pre, Abido Combre Hasikalia, Abinda la babote kaskelia, Abindo samena tonte babola, Abindo mamena ki, Abindo sekela, Abindo la bonte, Amanta grosketa mina kedia, Amina kanda baboria,
Amina Selikonda, Amina Branta Babala Koda, Amina Korea Babasa, Amantala Babon Shekela, Emakia Losa, Babro Kante Momorika, Babro Konda Masanto, Babro Kombra Babasi, Abenaito Malata, Ika Mantala Baboria, Escobre, Makabateli, Abrescoma. Do you respect the one that dwells in that fire? Do you respect the one that speaks with a still small voice? Do you respect the one that manifests his displeasure in a lack of peace? In your heart, have you understood the language of the Spirit, the language of the Holy Ghost? I kobe menetia avalatoske mambro kobe babizato ekomansali abolia mamaya. In the name of Jesus.
Acts chapter 5 verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie against the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why? 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 It means that Ananias did not respect. He didn't respect the presence. Maybe he could recognize it, but he did not respect it. So because he did not respect it, he felt it was not anything to lie against the Holy Ghost. You will never come to that place where God will be willing to travel with you, identify with you publicly, raise your hand publicly. You will never get to that place if you are not able to respect his presence. You say, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie against what? The Holy Ghost. It means that there are several things that people are capable of, even believers with church language, Christianese, they hide on that church language to do a lot of things, and you begin to wonder, what's going on? No, it is because the person does not respect the Holy Ghost. The person trivializes the person and the presence of the Holy Ghost. And someone was, you know, on a Thanksgiving day, so everybody has to march out and give offering in the basket and walk away. So the person just folded, there's no money in his hand, he just folded his hands. And the reason why it's possible is because he has no respect for the Holy Ghost. No respect. Stay with me. I've not finished my reading. So it means that because Ananias did not respect the Holy Ghost, it was now the Holy Ghost versus Ananias. And guess how it ended? You know the story. Once in a while, in order for God to bring his fear, he manifests a certain kind of judgment. That judgment is not negative. That judgment was supposed to bring the congregation. There are many people that did the kind of things that Ananias did, but nothing happened to them. But God chose Ananias to be a scapegoat for judgment. And that judgment was a positive thing to make the church sober and also to instill the respect for the Holy Ghost. It's supposed to be positive. Are you following? Now, I've not finished my reading. So Ananias versus the Holy Ghost. Ananias needed a grave at the end of the bout. Then, still in chapter 5 of Acts of the Apostles, these guys are brought before the Sanhedrin. And they had reason to want to inflict bitter judgment on these fellows. And one in their midst stood up. His name was Gamaliel. This was his counsel to the Sanhedrin. Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel, or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to do what? To fight against God. You see, this man was the restraining factor that did not allow the Sanhedrin go headlong. Because if they had gone headlong, it would have been the Holy Ghost versus the Sanhedrin. It means that the Sanhedrin respected the Holy Ghost, but Ananias did not. Do you respect him? It's pastor that is responsible for this message, not me. So if you want somebody to hold responsible, people, the Sanhedrin, as unbelievers they were, respected, they were restrained by the possibility, by the fear that the Holy Ghost might arise. Unbelievers. Then Ananias, who was a Pentecostal talking believer, got so familiar with God that he no longer respects God. And I've seen many assemblies all over the world where God is trivialized. It's not respected. It's not respected. And the issue is this: God will never be powerful in a congregation where he's not respected. God will never be powerful in the life of an individual that does not respect him, does not recognize his authority. Can we take a moment? If we need to repent, the prayer point cannot be regulated. As it applies to you, so shall it be. But you see, the point is this: from recognizing to what? Respect. It is when you now respect his presence, and he knows that you do so because of the posture of your heart, then it becomes easy for him to lead you, to be led of him. You live a life of divine leading. That's a great privilege. Can we ask that God helps us on these matters? Can we ask for his help? Ilaboko ramasantoria. Ilaboko samasuke baria suka mante kuria babababala. Escobrela hisko mansali koria bale koska mentalia. Ika mahora kabaske solse leta matakula mansali. Lord, we ask for your help. That none of us will trivialize your presence, your authority, your glory. That each and every one of us will tremble at your presence. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. You said the voice of God is not clear to you, it's because you don't respect him. When you begin to respect him, respecting the presence of God, respecting the person of God, issues in a certain texture of heart. When you sustain that heart, God is able to see it. God is able to identify it. So you are no longer a casual Christian, a nominal Christian. You are such a believer that wants everything that God has ordained for your life to come to pass. And because of that, you recognize and respect his authority. His voice will become very clear, as crystal. You will never doubt it. Hallelujah. And I tell you the truth, it's a blessing to be led by God. Father, help us. Help us. Help us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Sometimes he doesn't speak. He just moves within you in a certain way. He just moves. And many there be that have not yet received the ability to discern his movement. So it means that God is doing his thing inside of your heart, but you don't know what he's doing. And if that is the case, you are not intimate with God enough to be a preacher. Because God doesn't speak your language, doesn't speak English language. God doesn't speak any of the human languages that you know, French. God's voice, God's mind is in the move of his spirit. So if you cannot discern the move of his spirit, it will be impossible to articulate what is on his mind. If I say all of us should stand up and pray, you will do something. You'll be doing something. But the man that knows how to recognize his presence knows what to do to know what is on his mind. And unfortunately, that is not taught in Bible school. It's a product of intimacy. Your heart was desperate to identify, to recognize God. So that desperation, God saw that you were desperate. You wanted to be able to recognize him because your heart was altogether for him. So he now comes and then he gives you a gadget. With that gadget, you can trace him. This is the difference between the boys and the men. Because how on earth pounded yam? Do you know pounded yam? Okay, some of you don't know pounded yam. We're in America. You have to travel. You have to travel to Nigeria. There's something called pounded yam, and you need to know it. Hallelujah. For many of us, God can still speak to you when you are still looking at the pounded yam, but not when the pounded yam is in motion. You know, it is difficult. But for someone that has trained himself and textured his heart, humble before the presence of God, God gives a gadget. And it's with that gadget that you can track. It's a sensor. You need to operate in discernment much more to discern God and his movements and his activities within your heart much more than the need for discernment to discern devils and demons. This is not my message. It's because of my inability. We can't enter there today. So maybe, I don't know if I still have one session. But if I do, then maybe that will be the message. He gives you a gadget. It's a sensor. It's a sensor that can track his movements. So you can tell if he is standing. Many of you don't know the experience that God now is standing. Or God is pointing. You don't know the experience. You don't know how it feels in your heart. Because you don't have the tracker. You have not felt that God is so important that you need to track him every moment of the day and to keep fellowship with him so that it will be possible for you to understand what he's saying about situations and circumstances that form around your life during the course of the day. This tracker that I'm talking about is what the Bible calls an unction. You know, the Bible says that we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. The proof that the unction is at work is that the knowledge faculty, the supernatural knowledge faculty, switches on and you have capacity to know. He gives you that device. And okay, are you there? You know, all of us in this room, according to that scripture, we have that device, but your own has not been tuned. It has not been calibrated. What it picks is noise. You know, when the amplifier is not tuned, what you hear from the microphone, you hear one noisy. That sound is not real. It's not existing. That noise is not because someone is making that sound. It is the system that is jamming. For many of you, the unction is not calibrated. And because it is not calibrated, you even track other things, which is not the main thing. The other day, the doctor told me that it is wise for you to get a blood pressure testing machine at your age. It's wise, so that you can keep track of these things. So I went and bought one. And the one I bought, I thought it was calibrated from the factory. I for the device to be a device that is used in the health sector, I thought that they calibrated it. And when I used it, the readings it generated suggested that I was dead. I hid it from my wife straight. But it was when I now went to do deep studies, I realized that the gadget was not calibrated. For many of us, the sensor to track God has not been calibrated. The signals is giving you, if you follow it, it's deception. Because the sound you are hearing doesn't really exist. So that's the first prayer point that we're going to take. I'll just give you maybe 5 prayer points. First prayer point is that you need to ask God to help you calibrate your sensor. If your sensor is not calibrated, you will not be able to recognize God. And it is not in your interest for you not to be able to receive the input that God is making over your life. Many of you have missed seasons, strategic seasons that you were supposed to take steps of faith. You see, when your season comes, it's not obvious that it has come. It's not obvious. It's just like a door that is normally locked, and I come and open it. I just open the door. It's not, I unlock the door, but the door is not open. So it doesn't look obvious that you can now access it. That's how seasons open. Nothing changes. And if you cannot read the readings on the signal to take steps of faith, you are likely to miss that season. And every season comes with its own potential. It comes with its own errand. It comes with its own terminus in view. It might be difficult for you to connect with the next 2 seasons if you missed 1 season. Just like a Google Map will reroute. If you begin to behave well, God can reroute your passage to connect, but it's going to be more difficult than the original arrangement that God had. You are supposed to weep and cry if you are in a situation where you cannot recognize God in your vessel. Because we're going to do practical. When I'm done, we'll do practicals. Let's see how many minutes it will take you to hear God. That's how prepared you are for danger, for things that you could not predict. You are vulnerable. You can be speaking in tongues and still be vulnerable, because speaking in tongues is a means, it's not a goal. And the goal is that your speaking in tongues is like you are charging your battery so that the functions that are attached to that battery can come alive, like the sensor can begin to operate. The manifestation of the Spirit, the Bible says, is given unto every man to profit withal. There is a profit that can be drawn from every kind of manifestation that the Holy Ghost allows. And if by any means you have not yet begun to profit maximally from the presence of the Holy Ghost that is in your heart, it is suggestive of the fact that your sensor has not been calibrated. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Are you there? But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. This is what we call the knowing of revelation. The knowing of revelation. If by any means we decide to go to the book of Romans for me to show you the path of spiritual progress, because Romans chapter 6 points to now that you are born again. Now that you are born again. So the path of spiritual progress begins from chapter 6. Now, if we go to the book of Romans in trying to find the path of spiritual progress, you are going to find about 12 points on the path. And the first point you are going to encounter is the point of the knowing of revelation. It's this kind of knowing that you know, you don't know how you know, you cannot defend how you know it, but you yet know it. You see, it's not cognitive. It was handed out by the Holy Ghost. And it is a non-cognitive type of communication. It's a transmission. That's the first way you are going to know if your sensor has been calibrated, if you are capable of the knowing of revelation. Oh, you are not with me. You are not with me. You are not with me. I see you are not. You know, I am the only preacher in America that protests when his congregation is not following. What I do is that we remove some lessons so that you will need to go through a wilderness too. You know, it's either you learn by Bible study or by wilderness. And you can forget Bible study teachings, but you don't forget the knowing of revelation is handed out to you. And it happens to be that 70% of God's communication is in that form. So if you have not started receiving that kind of transmission regularly, you just know. You met someone for the first time, and you know that this one was not supposed to be your friend. Even the person, though the person is making advances and trying to be nice, we trust the radar much more than the weather. That's how pilots fly. It's by the instrument that they fly. The other day we were on one flight and everywhere was white because I don't know whether it was snow that was up there or maybe we were in paradise. It was difficult to tell the difference, but the captain, he didn't seem to be troubled because he had an instrument. So the way we know men is not by their faces, it's by the instrument. And the Holy Spirit brings a witness, and that witness is quiet. People that know God, that can recognize God, that can identify God, know that that witness is a big thing. But you see, you trivialize it because you cannot recognize that that is God. The difference between life and death in many cases is a little sign. If you are able to catch the people in the hospital after the accident, they'll say something spoke. May you graduate from something said, from something transmitted, from something. There was a consciousness. May you go beyond that point. May your instrument experience calibration. Even as I speak, may the calibration become so strong that it will come to you as a knowing of revelation. A knowing. A knowing of revelation. Now, you see, for after you have mastered the knowing of revelation, and I said that 70% of God's speaking, God's language, is in that form, the form of knowings. Oh, okay. I want to use this time very well. This time. It's in form of knowings. Let me show you a few things. Can we go to the book of John chapter 13? In John chapter 13, verse number 1, the Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, can you underline, knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing, on the line knowing, that the Father has given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God. So there are three knowings there. Jesus knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, and Jesus knowing that he was come from God, and Jesus knowing that he went to God. Can you see that in the life of Jesus, he was not taken unawares at any point in time? When the hour came that he should depart out of this world, he knew. He never navigated blind, because the unction was calibrated to be able to trap knowings of revelation. Never walk blind. I was in the oil industry. I'd climbed in the ranks, and I was now transiting to become a manager. People can kill to sit in that seat. People can take your name to Shongo to get you paralyzed before your day of glory, so that you'll be out of the way. It's a battle, because the moment you climb into that space, you'll be comfortable. You can even afford a baritone voice. You can afford it.
Hallelujah.
That kind of you can afford it at that point. But the more I grew to that day, the more the job died from my heart. Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart out of this world, and having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Hallelujah. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that he was going back to God. You know, so when those Roman soldiers were trying to break him through punishment, to break his soul, that's how intelligence experts extract information from people that they are trying to hide in their soul. They stretch you beyond your elastic limit. That was what Satan was trying to do to Jesus. But you see, the reason why Satan could not find the elastic limit of Jesus was because he knew where he was going. There was never a moment that he felt hopeless and helpless and without destination, without direction. That kind of confusion that Satan brings upon men is as a result of the fact that they are unable to track the mind of God. Persecution is easy if God is speaking to you. Are you there? Persecution is a light thing to bear if you know that you are on track. And this is his will for you. You will wear that persecution with so much grace, because you know that in it, the great one is in it with you. Jesus knew that his hour had come. So my first question to you today will be, what do you know? If you are looking for someone responsible for this sermon, just approach Pastor Wale. Because this is what I got from. I listen. I know how to listen. I know how to listen a lot. So we are not even going into the tricks of listening. How to listen. how to receive an ear that can hear. That's not what we're just saying, to recognize. The Spirit does not speak your language. In fact, his depth is deeper than your thoughts. If it doesn't help your thoughts by taming your thoughts through the power of inspiration, your thoughts never line up with him forever. Oh, you're not with me. It's obvious that. Let's forget about this thing. I would have preached John 3:16. For God, so Jesus, love. I preach about love. To take the power of inspiration to bring your mind into captivity and to force it to think the thoughts of God. What do you know? What do you know that you were not told? What do you know that you did not learn from a school, from a book, from a library? What do you know that was handed out to you by God himself? If this experience is not regular, it means that your receptacle is not calibrated. Now, I need to show you a few things, even though my time slips by as if, what is happening today? Maybe we are close to being raptured. I don't know what's going on. This is what the book of John, in the book of John, this is Jesus' best description of what it means to be born again. Come with me to John. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 verse 1, I've read it so many times and I believe I know it off head. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That's like, are you following me? Stay with me. How many people came to see Jesus? Huh? Okay, this is where my teaching ends. If you can't respond to me now, it means how many people came to see Jesus? One. Okay. Meanwhile, okay, let me not trouble you with all the other complications of that presentation. It was only one man that came to Jesus, but when this one man was addressing Jesus, the one man says, Rabbi, we know that you. So, how many people came to see Jesus? It was one man, but he did not come on his own accord. He came, it was a messenger that was sent by a clique, a club, a caucus. He came to represent them. If you check the statement that the man came to make to Jesus, it was as if that caucus was validating Jesus. That looked like accreditation. But how many accreditations have you witnessed that took place in the night? Do you know? Do you know the impact that this thing would have had to the ministry of Jesus if this dissertation was read in the public space? Maybe in one of those campaigns, 5,000 people being fed as they were giving them bread and fish. They say, meanwhile, we have representatives of the Sanhedrin in our midst. People are still collecting bread, but they are. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Do you know what that would have done to the ministry of Jesus? But the guys came in the night. Meanwhile, this guy that was speaking said, me and my group were aware of where you come from. Huh? And we are endorsing your teaching ministry. And the reason why we are endorsing your teaching ministry, it is not because of your teaching. Because we are teachers. The reason why we are endorsing you is because of the things that accompany your teaching. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no one can do these miracles, these signs. There are some things. When you are teaching, some things begin to happen. And that is God with you attempting to display the fact that I am here. So there's something beyond your teaching that takes hold. And there is no way those dimensions can take place if God is not with you. So we know where you are from. We are a teacher from God, even though we are teachers. But we don't know where we are from, but we know where you are from. That's the kind of discussion that was going on there. I was expecting Jesus to play along with the politics. I say, you know, I thought you guys would have come some time ago. And preferably in the daytime, in one of my campaigns, to make this proclamation. But it's okay. It's better than nothing. I was expecting him to play along with the politics. And then Jesus, hey, Jesus.
Oh.
He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay. If you read further in this presentation, you will find out exactly what Jesus is talking about, that Nicodemus was not born properly. You were not born well. That was Jesus' response. How do you say such? And because you were not born well, you cannot accredit me. But when a man is born again, this is where he now defined what it meant to be born again. According to Jesus, you see, Jesus, I've studied all his works again and again. And I can tell you some things, some unique things about his ministry. One of the unique things you'll find about the ministry of Jesus is that Jesus will hardly define anything. This was the place where Jesus should have defined what it meant to be born again. Instead of a definition, Jesus will give you an illustration. It's so grievous that I had to ask him, Lord, why? When do you? You know what he said? He said that I made it that way so that I will not lend truth to a cerebral man. He wants to hide truth from the mind, so that it will always come by revelation. It must be revealed. He will blow it to a cerebral man, a man searching with his mind, and he will open it to a man that is searching with his heart. Even the Bible, the moment you open your heart, the book opens. If you open your mind, the book closes. You still remember Luke chapter 4? Where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bind the brokenhearted. He has sent me, and he gave his manifesto, the errand of the anointing that was upon him. And those were moments of elation. And then the Bible now says, and he closed the book and gave it to the minister. See, after he found his destiny in the book and he read it out, everybody was excited. But you see, the book he gave to the minister was a closed book. That means the minister will now leave his presence and go into his office and try to navigate. But the book, the book is closed. Because the instrument with which he will be using to navigate is his mind, and is shut to the mind. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is Jesus' explanation of what it means to be born again. First of all, there are a few tricks in that scripture. And the first trick is the word see, which in the Greek means is eido. And eido means to perceive by reason of the use of senses. It means that the activity of your spirit, are you there? Your recreated human spirit
It's a sensing organ. It's a receptacle.
You are not with me. Now listen, listen, if you are with me, because I want to round up. Listen. I thought I would have been able to take you beyond the knowledge of revelation, the knowing of revelation, to the next step. The next step is the teaching of the Spirit, where the Holy Ghost becomes your teacher. But wait. In this presentation that Jesus just made here, using the word idol, Jesus seems to be suggesting that your spirit, your human spirit, has senses. Are you with me? Okay, you are not with me. Do you realize that when you were in your mother's womb at 9 months, you had eyes, you had ears, you had legs, but the eyes were not operational, the ears were not functional? You had to be born first in order for those eyes to become relevant. You had to be born first in order for those ears to become relevant. Are you still with me? That's what Jesus is saying, that you had eyes in your spirit. You had hearing in your spirit. You had senses in your spirit. But until you get born again, those senses might be dormant. It is when the Holy Ghost comes to take residence in your spirit, then those senses come alive. That's what the unction is. Are you there? So, I just mentioned one of the senses to you. Oh my God, someone is confused. I'm not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not saying whether or not you have it, the gifts of the Spirit. What I'm saying is whether or not you have the Spirit. Because if you have the Spirit, He comes to live in your inner man, and His presence inside of your inner man will manifest in four senses. The first of which is the knowing of revelation. Because what we're trying to tackle tonight is the ability to recognize Him. Oh my God. That's when you will begin to respect the still small voice. That voice is not without. That voice is within. There can be turbulence. There can be an earthquake. There can be fire. But the voice, the Lord may not be in it. But you can be sure that He will always be in the still small voice. Always. Always. The knowing of revelation. That's the first sense. Even people that are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, that are genuinely saved and are prayerful, have this dimension. It's just that when you become baptized in the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Holy Ghost is a catalyst that hastens spiritual processes. It makes it easier. It makes it shorter. The time you invest is shorter because there is a catalyst. Are you there? So the knowing of revelation. The second is the hearing of faith. What you call you hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God is not a function of an anointing upon, is a function of the anointing within, the unction within. So you can have the gift of word of knowledge. I have the gift of word of knowledge. If we begin to pray, I can begin to tell people things about them. I can begin to operate in that gift. But the fact that you have the gift of word of knowledge doesn't mean that it will be easy for you to hear God. You can be telling people that you will go, this thing, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing that. And then you yourself, you cannot hear God for yourself. It is because the word of knowledge that you are operating is a gift that operates, that is on you, and it doesn't benefit you. It's the investment within you. So many people develop what is on them without developing what is in them. And that's why you see that he has faith for people's miracles, but he doesn't have faith for his own miracle. He has power for people's healing, but he doesn't have power to stay in health because he developed something else. Are you there? If you want to live right, You want to live holy. You want to live righteously. You will need to invest in this inner one. This is where your character, the fruit of your regenerated human spirit, comes from within there. So there are so many people that can heal the sick, but they fall to the next temptation of temptation. He is not strong in his inner man. He's not strong in the inner island. He's only strong in what gives him the ability to minister. And just like Pastor Wale said, the anointing is put upon your life to produce a certain function. It is tied to your calling. Your calling is different from your living. You have mastered how to run on the track of your calling. You forgot how to live. You are gaining mileage in your calling, but you don't know how to live. You have no power for life, for living. It's because you did not develop the quiet river that flows. You don't understand when there is a volcano, an eruption, and he's calling you to the place of prayer. He will not call your name Angela. It's an eruption. It's inside. And you know that, okay, it's time to pray. If you don't understand that language, like when you are hungry, your body is telling you, you need food. Nobody comes to educate you to understand how hunger, what the message of hunger. You come to a point, you know you need to use the restroom. Nobody comes to tell you, there's a way you feel uneasy, and you know you need to discharge something. That is an organic language. That's what I'm talking about. There is a spiritual language in your heart, and that language is cooked up, is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll not know how to listen. You hear with this one, but you listen with another one. If you perfect listening and you know how to listen to the voice of God and how to listen, God can use any situation to make you hear. Just like in the book of Proverbs, he said, I went to the field of a lazy man, to the ground of a man that lacked understanding. The stone walls were broken down. It was overcovered with weeds. Then the Holy Spirit whispered to him, using that scenario, yet a little sleep. Inspiration began to speak. Yet a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed warrior. This guy just is not church he went to. Went to the train station and he saw something happen. And then the Holy Ghost begins to interpret. If you know what I'm talking about, you will realize that the physical realm and the spiritual realm are blended together. So much so that it might be difficult for you to know the boundary. If the navigator can open your eyes, you can take a parable from every situation. You can take a parable from every circumstance. Why are you without a parable? It's because you don't understand the movements, the sound, the vibration. When you perfect listening, then God now gives you a spiritual ear. The kind of ear that Elisha had. That he was in his house, but he was hearing what was happening in the king's bedchamber. You will train yourself in listening first. You are still not with me. If you need anybody to hold responsible for this message, Aminato, Peli Kapoko Bahise, we must be the kind of ministers that can bring from our God and give to the people, bring from his wealth, bring from his wisdom. And if you have not trained yourself to listen, how can you be
a conduit through which he will navigate to reach a dying wall like the one that we have here. You don't know at what point the Holy Spirit takes over the vocal cord of a mortal being, and you know that this is not a man speaking anymore. Something has seized him. Something has taken him. He has been raptured. And he speaks by the utterance of another. I don't want to walk in darkness. Job said, as it was with me in the months past, when the Lord was with me, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. There were men that navigated dark places with accuracy, but you have a burden of confusion. You don't know whether to turn to the left or to the right, and God doesn't want us blind.
There is a journey. He's calling you. He's calling you for a journey. He's calling you to come closer and to see for yourself. You've heard stories. You've heard voices. But he wants you to see. That's what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Men came and saw. They might tie you to the stake. They might put you behind bars. But there's nothing any man can do to take that which you have seen. They may take away the coat of many colors, but there is something they can never take away. I saw it. It was in a nation in the Middle East. I came 3 a.m. in the morning, and I landed, taken to my hotel room. I got to that hotel room by 4:30 a.m. in the morning. I rushed to the restaurant because I was famished, and I asked them for food. The guy that was there was an Indian. I spoke all the English I knew how to speak. The guy could not understand English. He responded in Indian. It's just that you were not there, because it will be a strange sight. You are speaking English. You are even trying to speak baby English. And with gesticulations. With And then the guy went up in India. Then he now brought the menu. And the menu was written in Indian language. So at least I have options. And I picked one. He now read it out. I said, sat there for another 1 hour. When the food came, it was green. There were grains, but green grains. And I'm wondering, I've been around for some time, never seen this. What is this? I said, maybe let's try it out. The accumulation of spices made sure that meal was not edible. It was not edible. I assure you, it was not edible. I poured it out. When I poured it out and the guy saw it was real, he spoke his first English word. After making many attempts, he was able to pronounce drug. So I now knew that what he was trying to tell me was that it was a healthy meal. I told him, I'm not sick. What I need is food. And then when I entered into the English and Indian, and I knew there was no headway, I left that restaurant. I had paid and I was angry. Going on. I did not know that there was a reason why God did not want me to eat. The only thing I don't remember is the room number. Went into the room and I was offloading my things. And Jesus walked through the wall. I saw him. He was with me for 29 seconds. That encounter I had with Jesus is the meaning of 10 years of my life. What he told me, the instruction he gave me that day,
it influenced my life the next 10 years. I came back from that trip and went around Nigeria six times in 10 years, 2009 to 2019. And in 2019, on 16th of August, he came back. I saw him with my eyes. That sometimes I'm not, maybe tomorrow he might give me some allowance to talk. There's something more than anointing. Something more than that. I'm going to stop here now. Did you hear the sound? Did you hear the cry? Because that cry is not for everyone's ears. It's for the inner ears. The knowing of revelation. That's the first sense. The hearing of faith. You will discover that even people that are not baptized in the Holy Ghost can hear God. Yeah. Because what they have is the Spirit. So those senses can operate. But they cannot operate in the gifts of the Spirit because the anointing upon is not on them. Are you there? Shine your light within my vessel. There's a time that God shines a light inside of you. And it's so intense. It's so intense. And most people don't know what that means. It means that God is giving you a revelational insight. If you feel it, then you begin to pray in the Spirit. And then God now brings your mind into obedience. And then the inspiration begins to affect your mind. You now understand. Do you know what it means when God wants you to? He wants to speak to you. Do you know how he feels? So you know God wants to speak. So even if you are with your wife, you tell her, "You wait. You wait. He calls me." Take us beyond the veil. Let us see by Shekinah illumination. For many gaze by sunlight, others by candlelight, but we want to go into the Holy of Holies that we might see by Shekinah. Oh, Kuria Sika. Oh, Kabrode Nasiko Brebina Kuria Baba Manteli. To know when to stand, when to sit, when to walk away, and when to run. Silamo. Nirasose laiko bramena kuske laya. Made wise by the Holy Ghost. Sensitivity. Whoa.
Ina na momena ikame ma montele. Sina na ikomale. Thank you.
sika me ma modela lo bana. Travel with him, then he unlocks the inner chambers. He unlocks the gate to the temple. He causes your eyes to see things, great things, mighty. Oh, suvela montala. Deep enough. Don't stay on the surface. If you say on the surface, you will think that the stories of men that went deep, you will think they are lies. Because you see, with sunlight, you will doubt the testimony of a man that sees with Shekinah illumination. I beheld in the spirit and I saw something like snow, and it fell upon someone. This person I'm talking about is sitting towards the back, and the Lord was giving me an insight that this individual is called to be a prophet and an intercessor. A prophet and an intercessor. She is supposed to fulfill the intercessory aspect. Then she will be granted access into the revelatory aspect. It is the Lord's will for this vessel to be strengthened with might by his spirit. I say to you, sister, your journey takes you yonder, a distant place in the spirit. Many trials you will survive to get to the place that the Lord calls you to be. If you endure these times, you shall sing the victor's song. For the Lord will invest in your life something unusual for this generation. Oh, oh,